Welcome to the TFD Performance Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Sullivan, and this is the show where we break down popular science into easily digestible and actionable information to give you the blueprint to be a high performer in your life. In this episode, Ryan and I discuss the nutritional principles that you need to understand to nail your next weekend-long tournament that requires you to weigh in every single day of the competition. We discuss how many calories you should be eating, the macronutrients you should be having, the timing of them, and the importance of hydration, as well as discussing the concept of low volume eating. This is a great episode, so let's get to it.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the TFD Performance Podcast. My name's Ryan Hassel, also known as the Dojo Dietitian. And today I'm here with Geordie, the Fight Dietitian Sullivan. Last time on the podcast, Geordie, we had a bit of a chat about important considerations for making weight with same day weigh-in. So things like BJJ, wrestling, those sort of competitions. In this one, I kind of want to dig into a bit more of something similar, but like a little bit more, just like slight differences. And that's like our multiple day weigh-in. So when we've got athletes competing in like amateur MMA, amateur boxing tournaments where they're competing over multiple days, let's have a bit of a chat about like what are the considerations for making weight, competing, and then having to back it up and make weight the next day. So some of the things we'll chat about, I think we'll go over like some common mistakes that we've both seen in these types of events, some do's and don'ts for how to make weight consecutively, and then go over some practical examples of how to fuel on the day to make sure that you're going in and competing fueled, but you're not struggling to make weight for the next day.
Yeah, I think this is an area that a lot of athletes struggle with, and I know we're going to talk about it, is because they either do one of two things. They either treat these weigh-ins as if they're like 24-hour weigh-ins and they try to just repeat that cycle, or they use the same principles that they use for the same day weigh-ins, which isn't terrible, but you need to tweak them to be able to do these things correctly. And so it's kind of nuanced, and if you understand how a 24-hour and a same day weigh-in works, you should understand how you need to adjust this after this podcast to make this work. But it's important that you do have a plan for your multiple day weigh-ins, because we've seen it time and time again. And I've had so many athletes that nail their first day weigh-in, and then they might be in a 3-day tournament and the finals are on the third day, and then they don't win that tournament. And it's not because they're not a great athlete and they weren't the best there. It was purely because they stuffed up this weight descent and this weight cut during those 2 days. They got it right the first time. Second time, it was really just iffy-offy. And then that third day, just a complete disaster. And we'll talk about why that can happen and what you can do to avoid that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I've seen some crazy stuff. Like, I remember one of my athletes was competing over in the States for a Muay Thai tournament. And one of the athletes that they were competing against did like literally that. So they made weight the first day, and then the next day came in 4 kilos heavier and started to cut all that off like the next day. And like, as you can imagine, that just cuts right into your performance, right? So let's have a bit of a chat about kind of like the do's and don'ts. So obviously with these style of competitions, it's kind of similar to the ones where we're coming in on the same day and making weight. There's obviously a little bit more leeway in terms of how much you're able to dehydrate, because generally for these tournament style events, what happens is they'll set up the weigh-ins in the morning, say like 7 a.m., 9 a.m., somewhere early typically. And then the actual competition, like the fights, will be sometime in the afternoon. So you generally will have a bit of a window compared to like IBJJF rules where you're like weighing in on the mat straight away. But generally, it's still a good idea to go into that fight week, because you're making weight over multiple days, sort of as close to the weight you're going to be competing at as possible. So, I mean, like a general rule of thumb is somewhere probably around 2-3% off, where it's going to be like, if you do need to cut that weight off in the morning, it's not really going to put you at risk of either cutting into your performance or compromising your health going into the fight. So yeah, making sure that you're planning, because you're obviously going to know about the event ahead of time, making sure you're coming into that fight week after following like a good weight descent program, and you're coming in close to your fight weight. Another thing is using our sort of lower risk weight cutting strategy. So we've talked about this a lot before, but fiber is a really good one to use, especially if you consume a lot of fiber in your diet. This is somewhere where you can get sometimes a couple hundred grams off your weight just by switching to like a lower fiber diet for these couple of days that you're going to be competing. Obviously not doing that long term. Fiber is really good, really important to keep in the diet, but just for these couple of days it can be good to switch down to a lower fiber diet. Now, because we're competing over multiple days, we're going to be losing fluid, losing electrolytes. It's really important to, even though we have to make weight the next day, we still want to make sure we're hydrating adequately. So we don't want to be like avoiding drinking too much water. We spoke about this a little bit just off the podcast before, Jordy, about your own previous experiences, like before you got into this. So I don't know if you want to kind of dig into that, but it's definitely something where people can be a bit afraid of that next day weigh-in. And so they kind of hold back from either eating or consuming enough fluid, and they end up competing dehydrated. And then they realize, oh, shit, I'm actually like 2 kilos under where I need to be, just because they've been too afraid to actually drink water. So it's important to remember to, we do need to adequately hydrate during this time. And we also need to be consuming enough food. And then the last thing that I recommend doing is like making sure you've got a plan for all of this coming into fight week. So don't like get to fight week and then be trying to figure out, oh shit, okay, how much food do I need to be eating? When do I need to be eating it? How much fluid do I need to be having? It's good to already have all of this stuff planned out, so you're not getting to fight week stressed out and trying to figure this out while you're also thinking about what you've got to be doing on the mat or in the cage. Making sure you've got a plan consolidated beforehand so you can kind of just hit the ground running when you get to fight week.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest point, right? And I appreciate that not everyone has the time to do what we call a trial cut, but it doesn't take a long time. And you can do it with your normal training, because if you do this properly, you're not necessarily cutting out carbohydrates. You can reduce your carbohydrates if you have a high intake and you have the buffer where you can go from, say, 300, 400, 500 grams a day and bring that down to 200, 300 grams. You'll still be able to fuel your training, but you'll still get a little bit of weight loss due to that residual water and glycogen. But plan it and have a go at it before. This is something I wish I did back when I was competing. Like Dojo said, the biggest mistake out of those things that I did and didn't do was the rehydration. I would freak out so much about drinking fluid, knowing I either had to make weight that afternoon or the next day in these multi-day tournaments, and just going, man, like I can't drink it. And you feel it. You might get away with it the first day, because if you've come in pretty hydrated, you'll feel okay. But when you just deplete and deplete by the third day, you really do feel terrible. And especially sports where you're doing a lot of grappling and you've got a lot of those isometric holds, that's where I felt it most. And I always felt that like I'd never really cramp, but I'd cramp on the last day or at the back end of that, because I was just so fluid depleted from not adequately hydrating. So that's really important too. And those are things that you need to practice in that trial cut. You need to understand, okay, well, how much am I, you know, losing in these typical 5-10 minute matches, whatever they are, how much am I losing? And then how much can I replace? Because a big thing is if you have one match or two match or whatever, a tournament style, you're going to be losing sweat throughout that day. And you need to replace that. Yes, you need to be mindful that you're not going to overdo it for the next day, but you need to be mindful. So out of all of those points, I think making sure you get the rehydration right. I understand it can be very tricky and intimidating when you're like, shit, I got to make that weight the next day, but make sure you practice it, put it back in, because that's something that's definitely going to, you know, adhere. That's definitely something that's going to be a detriment to your performance, especially with these multiple day weigh-ins where you've got 2-3 days of competition.
Yeah, definitely. Where you're getting like depleted over the course of the competition. Well, let's start digging into maybe some like practical examples of how the guys listening in can put this stuff into practice for their competition. So I guess because we've just talked about hydration, we can start there. So how would you recommend they go about planning out their hydration, either leading up or during the days of, to make sure that they're getting enough in, but they're still going to be able to make weight for the next day?
Yeah, I think just having a general good water intake in your day-to-day life is super, super important. It's super underrated as well, because you need to be drinking a good amount of water. I think people think that if you say put 3 liters of fluid in your body during the day, that you're just going to be 3 kilos heavier. It's not how it works. Your body loses naturally anywhere from 2,500 milliliters up to 3,000. So 2.5 to 3 liters just through your bodily functions. You lose water when you breathe, you're breathing out perspiring air. Obviously, when you sweat, you're going to be losing fluid. When you're going to the bathroom, you're losing fluid. So you're losing fluid constantly throughout the day. So making sure that you've got a good baseline is really important. And then being really aware of how much do you actually lose when you're exercising, and having a game plan and knowing, okay, when I'm going to make this weight, I'm going to make the weight. And I know I've got this buffer of, you know, 600 mils, like 1,000 mils, whatever it is, 500 mils that you can put in. Because that's something that I see a lot. People just don't have a plan when it comes to actually getting in there, and they just freak out. And if you don't have a plan, your default is to just not put it in. And I don't care what anyone says, your default is always just not going to have it. I think in the days leading up to the weigh-ins, another mistake is you do not want a water taper. You really don't want to restrict your fluid. Again, be comfortable with the idea that your body is naturally going to be moving and losing about 2.5 liters. So you can easily have that much. You're not going to be putting on too much weight. If you're doing the low fiber diet, you're going to be losing weight in there. There's no reason that you should be going into that weigh-ins dehydrated.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's a really good point. And so like in terms of if the guys are listening in, are trying to figure out how much they need to be putting in, like say if they're trying to figure out how to compensate for how much they would be losing at training, what would your recommendations be there for like that test cutting or like figuring out how much they need to be putting in?
Yeah, I think the numbers we use, say for your day-to-day, 30 milliliters per kilogram of body weight. And then whatever you lose in training, we usually say replace 25 to 50% more, or 125 to 150% more. So if you lost 1 liter, replace 1.25 to 1.5. During competition, I always say try to match your losses. And the reason I say try to match your losses is because we know there's a little buffer that you can be a little bit dehydrated and you'll be fine. Like you'll be a little bit dehydrated, a little bit behind the ballpark, but and you'll still perform pretty well. And that can be anywhere between 0 and 2%. The thing that you need to be mindful with that is that that's very different for everyone. Some people can go all the way down to 4% and they'll be okay. Some people just go to that 0.5%, 1%, and they're very sensitive to it. And if you're not mindfully doing this hydration or rehydration practice over the course of these tournament days, you're going to slowly slip down that slope. So at least if you're continuing to replace what you lose, then you're always going to stay at least around that, matching that body weight. You're not going to put on too much weight because you've got to weigh in again the next day or weigh in again later this afternoon, whatever the setup is, but you're going to stay in that real vital zone of not getting more than 2% body weight dehydrated. So replace what you lose is what I always tell my guys when you're in your tournament. And the only way you can really know that is if you practice it beforehand.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously it's also important to point out here that like when you're losing this water weight, especially like through sweat and stuff, and you're competing, one of the other things that's going to be coming out, right, is something that we talk about a lot, and that's your electrolyte. So especially when it's water loss through competing over these days, it's also really important to consider that you're going to need to be putting those electrolytes back in. So obviously we've got Train Aid is what we would recommend as like our staple for rehydrating to get those electrolytes back in, but yeah, whatever you can get your hands on, it's really important to keep those in, because as you were talking about before, Geordie, like especially in grappling style tournaments where cramping can be a big issue, like you're trying to get a submission on, you've got like an arm locked in or something, and then all of a sudden you cramp up and you lose it. It's like can really decide a match. So electrolytes are very important, and they're really like essential in preventing cramping and really important for performance. So making sure that some of that fluid that you're replacing in terms of the stuff that you're losing through sweat and stuff is coming from electrolyte drinks is going to be really helpful. The next thing they'd probably talk about then is, now they've covered fluid, is going through the actual food. So what we're going to be eating during fight day, how to make sure we're eating enough, not too much, just to get the balance right, to make sure that we're fueling, but we're also able to make weight for the next day. So I'd say like the most important thing here, and we talk about a lot, we kind of like, I've gone back and forth on the idea of this as well, but having an understanding, I would say, of what your caloric requirements are for like baseline, and then working back from there. Obviously, we've said it a lot, like we don't necessarily count calories, and it's not like the be all and end all, but during these like fight weeks, it can be important to just make sure that you've got a target in terms of the calories that you need to maintain your weight, allowing for probably a little bit extra because you are going to be burning during these competitions. You'll probably be burning quite a lot, but making sure you've got an idea in mind of around about where you need to sit in terms of total energy over the day. And then making sure not to exceed that too much, But it can also, for I guess a lot of people, be a bit eye-opening in terms of how much they can eat during the day, because as you said with the fluid, one thing that people do is they will restrict and then they end up dehydrating over the course of the competition. Another thing they do is and we see this a lot, is people will just freak out and not eat a lot for like the first 2 days, and then they get to the last day and they're like, oh shit, like I'm a kilo under, I can eat all this food again. But really, if they'd been doing that over the course of the whole competition, they'd sort of maintain their weight and they'd be able to compete a little bit better in sort of like the middle days of the tournament. So by having that target, you've got more of an understanding, you can be a bit more confident about how much you're eating, and not be stressed about I'm eating too much or too little. So I think from a confidence point of view, having a target is really good, especially during competition. And then from there, you can kind of work back. So you've got this target, this is how many calories I need to eat. Now we can figure out the macronutrients that go into that. So just as some general numbers here, obviously carbohydrates are going to be our main fuel source during these competitions. They're going to be like high energy, a lot of like dynamic movement, a lot of like bursts, like high intensity movement, sorry. So carbohydrates can be our main fuel source. In general, a lot of consensus recommendations are somewhere between anywhere from 4 to 10 grams of carb per kilogram of athlete. So obviously taking into account your caloric requirements here, you can kind of work back with those ranges to figure out how many carbs you need to be having. Protein is the next one that's really, really important over these days. Obviously, you want to be making sure that you're maintaining your muscle mass, and all of the other really important functions that protein have in our body. So trying to aim for around 2 grams per kilogram for protein is important during these days as well. And then basically allocating the rest of your calories to fats, and that should end up somewhere between the range of about 0.5 to 1 gram per kilogram of fat. So that's sort of how we would distribute the macros to make sure that we're getting enough energy in, enough of the right nutrients in the ratios that we need them. Now, obviously, like knowing how much we need to eat is important, but I think it's also really important to consider when we're eating. So what do you reckon is kind of like the best strategy in terms of timing your eating on flight day?
Yeah, I think the same old principle that we always talk about, never try anything new come competition day, is really important. So on your big training days, you should have this mapped out. And I think if I'm going to add anything to what Dojo just said, if you're listening to those macro numbers and you're thinking, man, that sounds like a lot of food, it can be, but it also doesn't have to be. And this is where using and utilizing low volume and the low fiber foods are going to be very, very useful, because you can get a lot of carbs in and have a pretty low volume of food. When I say low volume, I'm talking about the physical weight of that food. And we talk often with our clients, we're using things such as rice cakes, which weigh next to nothing, but they provide a good amount of carbohydrates. And you can add, you know, honey and jam or Nutella and then fruits on top of that, or dried fruits, which are really low weight, but very highly densely packed with carbohydrates. You can use things like candies. We use things like milk chocolate, which is low in fiber, low weight, but very high in carbohydrate. Things like that can help you achieve those carbohydrate numbers, but then keeping your totality of volume or overall weight of food that you're consuming quite low. And then the second thing, like Dojo said, is the timing is really important as well, because you want to make sure that you're putting those foods in. But if we're doing a high intensity explosive sport like BJJ, Muay Thai, MMA, the IMAF setup, you want that energy available. So I always like to say, get a good breakfast in beforehand. And if you plan your weight out, you should be able to eat before your weigh-ins. Or if you can't, usually with these type of weigh-ins, you've got a few hours before you compete. So make sure you're getting a very good high carb, low fiber, low volume breakfast in, at least ideally 3 hours before competition. At least I like to tell all of our guys, make sure you top up your blood sugars about 30 minutes. Again, this is something you need to practice. You need to practice during those high training days, because you don't want to try this for the first time and then do a Paddy Pimblett and go out there and spew in the cage or in the ring or on the mats or whatever it is. So make sure that you are doing that. Again, that could be 30 minutes all the way up to an hour, but make sure you are getting those carbohydrates in. I think with protein, just like we always say, pace that out throughout the day, every 3 to 4 hours, have it with your meals. It's good to have it with those carbohydrates to help that uptake. So very easy things. Like I get my guys, one of the things we get them to make is say oats in that 3 hours before competition. Very easy to make protein oats and add a bunch of fruit to that to make sure you're getting multiple sources of carbohydrates in. You can make it so it's not that high volume, but you're getting a good source of carbohydrates, good source of protein in there. And it's really going to set you up and give you a lot of good energy. And then again, just making sure that you're putting in that fluid. So when you get to that first match, it's really, really important that you're hydrated and you're going in there the best you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I think the last consideration for nutrient timing is some of the slower digesting things. So like you've got your fat or like low GI. Like we've talked about high GI, low GI enough, I think, at this point, that the guys listening in probably have an idea, or if you haven't, maybe go back and listen to some of the carbohydrate podcasts that we've done before. But some of these foods that take a longer time to digest, you really don't want to be consuming too close to the competition. Like we've obviously got those ones that you were just talking about there, like the things that are really easy to digest can be eaten basically up until about half an hour before competing. But for those really slow digesting ones and for bigger meals and stuff, you really want to give your body at least a couple of hours to digest so that you're not going into the ring or the mats with like really heavy food in your belly. So that's going to be things low GI carbs, and then also things like fats and slow digesting foods like that. But yeah, I guess that kind of covers all of the basis for the kind of like the fundamental principles that we would follow in order to make sure we're eating enough and also making sure that we're able to make weight. So just to kind of go back over those, we've got obviously planning out and sticking to a structured plan is going to be like the most important thing to do here. So really having it all planned out coming into the competition. Then obviously making sure we're consuming enough foods, enough calories, enough macros in order to support our performance. Making sure we're hydrating properly, consuming enough fluid, and also replacing the fluid that we're losing. And then finally, making sure we're consuming our foods in a way that, like timing them in a way that makes sense around our competition in order to make sure we're going into the fight fueled, not too heavy, just feeling good, and then able to consume foods and stuff later in the day.
Yeah, I think the last thing that I want to touch on, and it's a question I always get, is, well, what do I do after my fight, and what do I eat and drink, and can I eat and drink? And for that, there's a bit of nuance to it, because at the end of the day, the way that a fight goes kind of dictates how you go about that, because you could be fully loaded up and have all your stores in there and be fully hydrated and then go into a fight, and then they shoot on you and you snatch a quick guillotine, and within 15 seconds, you're finished and you really didn't burn too much energy. And then you're through to the next day and you got to make weight. In that situation, then you probably have all of that energy. You just need to maintain it throughout the night, right? You can obviously get another meal in, but when we're talking about, say, you've had a barn burner and it's a 3-rounder, 5-rounder, or you've done multiple matches throughout the day and you've depleted those energy reserves, it's really, really important that you put that back in. And like Dojo said earlier, a lot of athletes make the mistake of freaking out, going, I need to make weight tomorrow. I'm not going to eat or drink tonight. So I tell all of my guys, get back to the weight that you woke up at that morning. So make sure at a minimum, you get back to that weight. So whether you're rehydrating, you're eating meals, I always say, make sure you put that glycogen back in, but through those carbohydrates. And that nighttime, you've got to understand you've got the overnight sleep. So you're going to get a good 8 hours of sleep. So you can put those more slower digesting carbohydrates. So things like pastas are really good, because you can have a lower volume of pasta and get a way more higher amount of carbohydrates compared to, say, if you were having potatoes, for example. So having pastas or something like that is really good, having a good protein source, and then making sure you're getting that fluid back in, so you're going back to bed rehydrated. And then remember, if you go to sleep overnight and you get a good sleep, you will probably get what we call an overnight float. All that means is that you'll lose weight overnight, and that's because you're breathing, your body's breaking down, processing food, and you'll probably lose water weight overnight and you wake up a little bit lighter. I'm always comfortable with my guys on multiple day weigh-ins waking up at least 2% of their body weight heavier, because I know we can just go down and you're going to do a warm-up anyway at some stage, or a lot of people like to have a shakeout, throw on a hoodie and go down there. As long as it's not too strenuous, I'm very, very comfortable with my guys waking up 2% of their body weight. That might be anywhere, depending how heavy you are, a kilo or 2 kilos over, and just sweating that out. Or if you like going to the sauna, say you do that every morning anyway, just go get a little sweat out, go weigh in, rehydrate, start your fight day prep again. So it's just about being very smart and having a good plan in place, something that you've practiced, that you're comfortable with, and you don't take the attitude of, oh, nah, I need to make weight, so I'm just going to restrict. I would so much rather you, hey, no, it's okay. We can sweat out a little bit of weight, but I'd rather you'd be fully fueled up. In saying that, don't go ridiculous. If you go to the point where you're reloading and you're hydrating too much and you're going above that 2%, you need to reassess your plan. You need to work with someone. You need to get a plan in place where you're not going to be that heavy, because on these multiple day weigh-ins, like weight cutting in terms of sitting in a sauna or in a bath is a no-go. You should not be doing that. You can manipulate within that 2% and you can use all of these principles we spoke about. But if you want to have success, and I've seen it with all the athletes that have done really well in IMAF, and you know, we've worked with multiple IMAF world champs, we've worked with multiple Muay Thai world champs who have done these weigh-in competitions where it's everyday weigh-ins, and they've done really well because they're fully fueled and fully hydrated throughout the entire tournament. And it's not even the fact that they say it to us. They say, well, by the time I got to that last day, I could see they were defeated by the time they got in there. They were so drained. And that was actually the easiest fight. Like you could just tell, like, because everyone's body's beaten up by that point. They were beaten up, plus they were so depleted. That was actually the easiest fight. And that's really, really common because so many people stuff this up. All right. I think that's enough there, Dojo. I think that's a really good episode. If you guys do want to learn more about this, we did drop our new Performance Nutrition for BJJ course on our new TFD Performance Hub. So if you want to learn more about not just multiple day weigh-ins, same day weigh-ins, if you want to learn the concept of how we do fuel our really, really top level athletes, all of that information is available now on the TFD Performance Hub. There is a link in all of our Instagram bios. Head over there, have a look. It's really, really valuable. But until next time, Dojo.